Look tonight at the preface of the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6. We've been looking at the section in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus teaches his disciples what has been called the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that they ought to pray, the prayer that should structure their prayers, the model prayer. Last week we just looked at a brief overview of the Lord's Prayer. And remember, we saw why this prayer was given, how it is structured, why is it is important, and then how we should use it. But tonight, I want us to look at the preface of the Lord's Prayer. I want us to begin to look at some of the contents there. So I thought it was fitting to at least just start with the preface or the introduction or the very beginning of this prayer, which is found in verse 9. Jesus says, pray then like this, and then he begins the prayer by saying, Our Father in heaven, or if you prefer the King James Version, Our Father which art in heaven. But here I want us to see three things. Notice three things here. First, the person we are to address. Secondly, the relationship we are to have with him. And then third, the place where he dwells. And so I hope in these three points to show you that this little address, this little preface, is packed full of meaning and instruction when it comes to appropriately praying to our God. And so let us begin by praying, and then we'll look at those three points. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can call upon you as our Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven. And we pray that you would open our minds to understand what this means as our Savior teaches us now. Oh, Holy Spirit, please come and help us not only to understand these things, but to apply these things to our lives and help us to pray these things, we pray. So have mercy on us. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So notice three things about the beginning of this prayer. First, notice the person we are to address, or we could say the person we are to direct our prayers to. Jesus teaches us here that that person is the Father, or the first person of the Trinity. Now, already in this chapter, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus makes plain that the one we are to pray to and ask things from is none other than the Father. So just look at verse 6 and verse 8. Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then look at verse 8. He says, do not be like them. Do not be like the Gentiles. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So it's only natural now that he begins the Lord's Prayer with these words, Our Father in heaven. So we're praying to the Father. Now there's nothing inappropriate or wrong with praying directly to the other persons of the Trinity, praying to Jesus, the Son of God, who is the second person of the Trinity, and praying to the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Trinity. All three persons of the Godhead are truly God and worthy of our worship and prayers. But the usual order of prayer follows the eternal order in the Trinity. We pray to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. That's the usual order of prayer. It can be found throughout the New Testament, but let me just point out one place which makes this clear, Ephesians 2:18. Listen to these words by the Apostle Paul. He says, for through him, that is, through Christ, we both redeemed Jews and Gentiles, have access in one Spirit to the Father. Now, the prepositional phrases here are very important. He says that we have access to the Father through Christ, in or by the one Spirit. So when we pray, Christ is the gate that we walk through. And the Holy Spirit is the guide who leads us by the hand. And who are we going to in prayer? We are going to the Father, who is the great King of all the earth. So the person we normally address in prayer, not exclusively, but normally, is God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. So that's the person. But secondly, notice the relationship we have with Him. Here is the glorious thing that Jesus teaches His disciples here, that His God and Father is also the God and Father of every believer in Him. That's a glorious reality. Now, Jesus many times speaks about the Father as His Father. You find it all throughout the Gospels. For instance, He says, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and He will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" So He addresses Him as His Father, and He prays to Him as His Father. Matthew 26, 39, He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." But again, here's the glorious thing, that through the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can do as Jesus did. We can call upon the Father as our Father. Not just our God, not just our Creator, not just our King, but we can call Him our Father. And not a bad Father, not a derelict Father who wants nothing to do with us, not a mean-spirited Father who hates us, not an overworked Father who is just too busy to hear our cries. No, brethren, in prayer we come to a loving and kind and gracious Father whose ear is always bent toward our prayers and whose hand is always ready to bless us. Come to the One who has caused us to be born again into His wonderful family. In prayer we come to the One who supremely cares for us and delights in us. In prayer we come to the One who desires to meet all our needs and bless us in every way. We come to a good Father who desires to give good gifts to His children. Listen to what our Savior says in the next chapter, Matthew chapter 7, about how we should approach our Father in prayer. He says this in verses 7 through 11. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him?" Brethren, if we knock on His door, He will not keep it shut. He will open it for us. And if we ask for bread, He's not going to give us a stone. And if we ask for meat, He's not going to give us a serpent to eat, but He will give us far more abundantly than what we could ever ask for. So listen to this remark that the Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 120 makes. It says, "Why has Christ commanded us to address God as our Father? Answer: to awaken in us at the very beginning of our prayer that childlike reverence and trust toward God which should be basic to our prayer. God has become our Father through Christ and will much less deny us what we ask of Him in faith than our fathers would refuse us earthly things." So right at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, we are immediately confronted with the great reality that the Father is our Father. And it should elicit in us this childlike faith and reverence to trust Him for everything that we need. Because if earthly fathers, good earthly fathers, will not refuse to their own children good things when they ask of them, How much more, brethren, will our good and gracious Father give us everything that we stand in need of? So he's our Father. This is the sort of relationship we have with him through the gospel. So when we pray, let's have great confidence and great faith, because we come not to a cruel and uncaring tyrant, but we come to the best of all fathers who desires to give good things to those who ask him. But third, notice here the place where our Father dwells. It's wonderful to think about God being our Father, but there is a danger with that. And the danger is for us to think that God is a lot like his creation. And here, that God our Father is similar to earthly fathers. Now, there's some connections, obviously, but I think Jesus here, to keep us back from profaning the name and character of our great God, and to help maintain the creator-creature distinction that is so necessary, he says here that we are to address our Father as our Father who is in heaven. Our Father who is in heaven. Those important words, who is in heaven. Now, it's true, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. His presence fills all things. Remember what David said in Psalm 139 about our God? Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. And your right hand shall hold me. So God is everywhere. But in a very special way, God is in heaven. He's in heaven, not just the first heaven, which is the sky above our heads, not just the second heaven, which is what we call outer space, where the moon and the sun and the stars are, but specifically, he is in the third heaven, the highest of heavens. The place of perfect holiness and order. The place where the elect angels live. The place where the spirits of the saints dwell. The place from where our exalted Savior reigns. And the place where our Father's glorious home is built. God is everywhere, but let's think that his headquarters are far above us in the highest heavens. And so, as we pray, we are to acknowledge this truth. He is our Father who is in heaven. Now, why is that important? What's the significance of this? I think there's two very, very important reasons we are to say our Father who is in heaven or our Heavenly Father. And it's not wrong to just say Father. I mean, Jesus says in John 17, Holy Father. But we need to at least have this in our minds when we are approaching our God, that he is our Father in heaven. And here are the two really important reasons why we need to at least have this in our minds, if not upon our lips. First, this means that unlike earthly fathers, our Heavenly Father is holy and majestic and glorious and awesome. He is not the old man upstairs. I've heard that too often from the lips of professing Christians, that the God they pray to and praise is just the man upstairs. He is not our buddy or pal or amigo. He is not even our daddy. There's some out there who want to translate the word Abba and Abba Father as daddy. But I think there's conclusive proof out there that the word Abba is simply an Aramaic word that just means father. Now, of course, calling God our Father means that we have a close, loving, personal relationship with him. No doubt about that. But remember, brethren, he is in heaven and we are on earth. He is high above us in the most majestic and glorious place in all the universe. Nothing better than heaven itself. And the Bible says that from where he sits, we are like little ants and grasshoppers in his sight. This means that as our Heavenly Father, we must not pray to him in a flippant or irreverent way. Instead, we must come to him in prayer with humility and reverence and gospel fear. Remember the wisdom of Ecclesiastes 5:2. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. So, brethren, every time we pray, we should be awestruck with the reality that this great and awesome and glorious God has been so kind and gracious to us. We need to see him as high and mighty and exalted and holy. And when we think about ourselves for but a moment, our hearts should melt with thankfulness as we think about the fact that this great and glorious God has opened a way through the gospel of Christ where wretched worms like ourselves are given the right not just to be his servants, but to be his beloved children. Children who are reconciled to him through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So, brethren, the thought of this should lay us low before him in prayer, that we acknowledge that he is in heaven, and should cause us to say, along with the psalmist, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" We are made of the dust. And we are praying to the eternal God who lives forever. So he's not like earthly fathers who are full of sin and wickedness, who oftentimes you see even the father and son relationship break down, sons and daughters rebelling against their fathers, speaking to them in whatever way they wish. This is not the Father we call upon in prayer. So, let's have some gospel fear and trembling when we come to this great God. He is holy. He is in heaven, and we are on earth. But secondly, for some encouragement, our Father being in heaven means that unlike earthly fathers, he is actually able to help us when we call upon him. And that is a wonderful reality. Now, good earthly fathers want more than anything to help and bless their children. Hopefully, that's the desire of every father here this evening. That one of your great desires in life is to bless and help and protect and provide for your children. And I see that happening all the time, brethren. Be encouraged by that. I'm also reminded of this over and over again when I see posts from baby Gus's dad, you know, the man from the Reformed Baptist Church of Louisville. The little boy's been in the hospital for, I don't know what, about 150 days now. And so he's fighting with all of his might to save the life of his son. It's a wonderful thing to see and to read about. He loves his son dearly. He wants more than anything to help out his son. But I think he knows, and I think we know as fathers, that though we may want to do everything we can to help out our kids, at the end of the day, we really don't have the ability to do so. So often there are situations that come in our lives where we feel absolutely powerless to give our kids what they so desperately need. But here's the wonderful thing about the God that we pray to, who is our Heavenly Father. That's not true of him. It's not true of our Father who is in heaven. He not only wants to help us, he is our Father and our good Father, but he is also able to help us because he is our Father in heaven. Listen to what the prophet Jeremiah says of him in Jeremiah 32:17, and he's praying to the Lord here. He says, "Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." Nothing is too hard for our Father. Nothing is impossible with our Father. Brethren, he has no limitations. He has no hindrances. He has no weak spots. Remember, he owns all things. He rules over all things. He has power over all things. And unlike earthly fathers, and especially unlike idols that pagans pray to, our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases, Psalm 115. He's not like those dumb and deaf idols. He's not even like us. He is in the heavens, and he does all that he pleases. So, brethren, this should be encouraging to us, because it means that our Heavenly Father has the power to shake the heavens and split open the earth to come to our aid. There is nothing that can stop his righteous right hand from coming down and blessing his people. Nothing is too hard for him. He's in heaven. He's in the place of perfection and holiness and glory and power. So as we pray, let's remember who we are praying to. We are praying to our Father who is in heaven. And so let's expect that he will bless us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And let's expect that he will grant to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. This is his will for our lives. He wants to give these things to us, and he has the power to give these things to us. As the Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 121 says, why is there added, who art in heaven? All right, why does Jesus add this phrase? Answer: these words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty in an earthly manner, and to expect from his almighty power all things we need for body and soul. So what do you need, dear Christian? What are you struggling with in life? God can give it to you. Everything that you need for body and soul, your Father in heaven can provide for you. Let's have that sort of confidence in our great God when we pray to him. Well, just to wrap things up, what is Jesus teaching us in the preface of the Lord's Prayer? Well, he is teaching us, as our own Baptist Shorter Catechism says, to draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence as children to a Father, able and ready to help them. So may we come to our Heavenly Father tonight in corporate prayer with all holy reverence and confidence. Remember those two categories: holy reverence, because he's in heaven, but also great confidence, because he's in heaven and he can help us. Let's have that in mind as we come to prayer this evening, and let us also keep these things in mind as we enter into our prayer closets throughout the week. Let's pray together.